right. There is our opening music, which means we get to start the Aging Well Together show. I was telling our guest, oh, you'll know when we start, because all of a sudden it'll go, bam, bam, bam. Sorry, Robert Bradford Quartet, for how I just butchered your music. But I am so excited to be back. We had some interesting, we had the snow that took us out of the studio for a little bit, though I ended up coming in and it was super cold. But now our studio is super comfortable because the weather's beautiful outside. So excited to have you all be listening, and so excited for today's show. We have such a wonderful show today. It is all about tapping into your creativity and learning about the power of expressive arts therapy. We have my longtime friend and colleague, Bridget Pemberton-Smith, here. She is the owner of Bridges Art Therapy, and she's going to tell us all about how we can find healing through the arts. I am so excited for all we will learn together. But as always, before we dive into our show, we want to give a shout out to WCOMLP Chapel Hill Carborough for hosting our weekly Aging Well Together show. You can catch our show every Thursday from 2 to 3, either live on 103.5 FM if you are in our listening radius, which is actually a pretty small radius, or you can stream us live through WCOMFM.org. The Aging Well Together show is brought to you by the always helpful team at the Orange County Department on Aging. It was so wonderful. I was with the team for the last few days at the North Carolina Association on Aging meeting, and they are just phenomenal. Besides being wonderful sponsors and expert guests on our show, each week the team, I'm calling out to you, Marilyn. Thank you so much. Marilyn posts our previous shows on Orange County's website. So if you want to catch up on any of our past shows or find a range of local Orange County resources, go to Orange County Department on Aging's website, which is www.orangecountync.gov/aging. If you have questions about local resources, you can call the Orange County Department on Aging at, I will slow down so you can get your pens and paper ready. You can give them a call at 919-968-2070. And if you have any questions about our show or want to suggest a topic or person or organization, and my goodness, we are booked through June now. I know, Alicia's getting herself all set up, and she's going to be like, wow. Yeah, we have got so many shows planned for you, and I'm so excited. But you can always feel free to email me to suggest other topics, and I can be reached at one long email address, and it is called agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com, agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. And a shout out, as I already did, to the Carborough Bass Band, the Robert Bradford Quartet. Alicia, you missed my, I went like, you know, I did them some fun sounds beforehand. They are an amazing local band, and they allow us to use their great music, their original music, for our opening and closing music. You'll hear a lot more at the end of the show. My fabulous co-host Alicia Reed is back with us. Hi, Alicia.
Hey, Heather. Hey.
I know. Alicia, meet Bridget. Bridget, meet Alicia.
Hi, Alicia.
So excited because we've had to be separated for the past 2 weeks. And so we're excited to be back together. Alicia is one of the extraordinary wellness instructors with the Orange County Department on Aging. She is a dedicated community volunteer, and she is host of the show right after hours, Afternoon Talk with Alicia. So, Alicia, it is our 70th show today. Wait. Hold on.
Yay!
I brought our sound box. Bridget, this is like, it claps for too long. This is our fifth show that we have our cute sound box, and it makes us ridiculously happy. Yeah, we wanted this for 65 shows, and then it finally joined us, and so now we can make fun little, like, comments. Wait, here's the music one. Oh, wait. This is the music one. That's the music one. That's kind of lame, but okay. As for me, I am Heather Altman. I've spent over 25 years working in aging services and supports. I help older adults and their families connect with resources in our community. I'm a caregiver for older family members, and at 54, you always hear me say this, I'm focusing on my own changing needs, so I am super invested in how we are all aging. well together. And I am super invested in our guest today because I have a little creative flair, and it definitely helps with my healing and mental health. And so I am so excited. We have Bridget Pemberton-Smith. She is joining us today. Bridget, she's got the coolest titles, and we're going to spend the entire show with her describing what these titles mean. She is an expressive arts therapist. Ooh. She is a soul collage facilitator. Ooh. I know. Ooh. She is a Mari practitioner. We're going to learn all about what that means. Bridget comes to us super experienced and highly educated and experienced. I just said experienced twice. She received her Master of Arts in Expressive Arts Therapy and with an art therapy specialization. She is a registered and board certified art therapist. I stalked her website, so I know a little bit more. Even though I know her, I had fun. I always say stalking because that's more fun than saying researching. Yeah. She has worked with a variety of populations, including but not limited to children with physical illness, at-risk adolescents, adults with mental illness, seniors both with and without dementia, refugees and immigrants, and as a supervisor for art therapists who are seeking their own art therapy registration. She has worked in schools, after-school programs, hospitals, retirement centers, and mental health agencies. And point of pride for both Bridget and myself, we worked at the same retirement community, though not at the same time. Mm-hmm. I came in right after, in 2003, right after Bridget left, and so I knew about her before I actually met her. So she is well-loved. Welcome, Bridget.
Welcome. Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
So excited to have you here. Before we get started, as always, though I guess this is technically our start, we want to learn all about you first. Like, where are you from and how you got interested and motivated in art therapy space? I like to call it the healing arts, but that may have a different connotation, so you can correct me right there. But
no, I mean, it's definitely included in the healing arts. I think the healing arts is much broader than expressive arts therapy, and I certainly dabble in other things too, but yeah, that works.
So where, like, tell us about you first.
Okay, so I actually was born and raised in Chapel Hill. I'm a native.
Nice. Yeah. We have not had a lot of native Chapel Hillians on our Aging Well Together show, so welcome home, because you're home.
Yeah, so I've lived here pretty much my whole life, except for when I've gone to school, then I've, you know, left the area. Love UNC Chapel Hill, but was, you know, when I was in high school here, I was ready to go somewhere different. And then there's actually not a accredited art therapy program in North Carolina, so I had to go out of state for that.
You went to you went to my hometown area. You went to the Boston area,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I loved.
Whoa.
I
don't know.
Yes.
Did it happen? Are you on? Did we lose you?
I don't know.
I can still hear you fine at this point. I know. We have a lot of weird chords today. Oh, so, all right.
No worries.
We're having fun. That's okay. All right. So take us. You were in Boston to get your training.
Yeah. I loved Boston. I actually went to school in Cambridge, but I lived in Newton Center, which is sort of on the other side, which is a really fun community.
Right near where I grew up, yes.
No kidding, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Weston.
Oh, okay, yeah,
so
of
all
course.
The W towns, Weston, Wayland, Waltham, Wellesley, all the N towns, Newton, Needham, Natick.
And there's all the different Newtons, Newton Center,
Newtonville. I know, right.
Yeah.
Very cool area. Sorry, yeah. Alicia is like, what? All right, so then how did you even get interested in doing art therapy? You were pretty driven. You knew what you wanted to do.
Yeah, well, you know, I actually didn't know about the field until after I'd been to undergraduate school. I studied studio art undergraduate, mostly because I just loved art. But I figured out that I didn't want to do the starving artist thing. And
Why?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of it actually is because my art is so personal, and I didn't want my paycheck depend on something that I put so much heart and soul into. So, you know, before, like when I was in high school and then during college, I had worked retail. I worked at a Southern Season. So for some of those people who've been around town a while.
Southern Season. We miss you. R.I.P. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's a warehouse though off of 40.
Tis true. One could still get their cheese.
So we've seen each other. I used to stay around.
Yeah. So I worked at the one when they're over at Eastgate. So it's been a minute.
Yeah.
But classic. Yeah, my first job was working the chocolate counter at a Southern Season.
Nice.
So I had a lot of experience with retail. So once I got my art degree, I ended up working in gift galleries. So I made a store called Pringles Fine Crafts out at Farrington Village, and then I worked some at Cameron's.
Well, you didn't just work some at Cameron's.
Well, eventually, yeah, eventually we owned it.
Yeah, but, I wasn't going to ask that question, but I mean, Bridget is a staple in our community. We could have had just a show all on our former retail partners that are no longer with us. But yeah, when you left and you opened the store with your sister, right?
Yeah, yeah. And the interesting thing is, you know, when we closed the store, we both kind of went our own direction, and I ended up, because I already had my art therapy degree and I had been doing art therapy a little bit on the side while we owned the store, I decided to do that full time. And then my twin sister, you know, tried a couple different jobs and sort of landed on the nonprofit world. And she had gotten an undergraduate degree in in art history. And so she's now the executive director over at the Art Center. So our workplaces are literally like a block from each other now.
Oh,
so. That is so cool for twins.
Yeah. Good to know on a number of levels. And selfishly, my daughter's an art history major in college and is looking for internships. We will be talking.
Yeah.
But yes, it's funny. That's how we met. I knew of the fabulous Bridget from my former work. And then I was constantly going to Cameron's. Yeah. And so then you started Bridges Art Therapy a few years ago now.
Yeah, it's been about 2 years, a little over 2 years now.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so we'll keep going into you and your experiences. But for our listeners who may not know really what it is, let's do a super basic art therapy 101. It sounds kind of self-explanatory, but what is art therapy?
So basically the way I like to describe it is it's using art as another form of communication in therapy. So, you know, in talk therapy, you know, which is great, you talk to someone, you share your problems and that sort of thing. But the one thing that we've discovered with talk therapy is that because we talk all day long, we're really good at editing what we say.
Mm-hmm.
And so there may be some really important things we need to talk to our therapist about, but we know how to hold them back because it's scary to like tackle those hard problems. I mean, I do it myself with my therapist. I'm sure if she's listening, she's like, oh yeah, Richard does that.
I talk so much that when I've done therapy in the past, I'm like, I'm just like blah, 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 blah. And then I haven't even gotten to it. And then the time's over and then I owe a lot of money. So I prefer a different communication mode because talking is just.
I'd rather draw.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, so the great thing about drawing is people aren't as used to editing what they put in their art. So as a trained art therapist, I can't analyze their art. Like I can't look at someone's artwork and tell you all about them, but I can figure out little clues with good questions to ask to sort of dig at, you know, the bigger issues and that sort of thing. So that's great. And also just doing art is therapeutic to a lot of people.
Yes.
So, you know, there's that. And then you also talked about how, you know, sometimes you can be in therapy and you talk a lot and then, you know, it's like you don't even get to what you wanted to talk about.
Right. Yeah.
With art therapy, because people, you know, aren't able to edit it out, things just move along faster. Like we can find the things pretty quickly, address the issues and process it. It's really great with people who've had any sort of trauma history because if you think about you know, trauma memories, the way they're stored in our body is through our senses. So it's, you know, you hear about veterans who get freaked out when they hear fireworks or a gunshot because it sounds like what they experienced in war. For me, my father died in the fall, and for several years after that, whenever the fall would roll around and I would smell the smell of the leaves, you know that smell in fall?
Yes.
I would suddenly get sad, and then I was like, oh yeah, this is when my dad died.
Mm-hmm.
So our memories are stored in our senses, and art therapy, and actually all the expressive arts therapies are body-based therapy. So we're using our bodies for music therapy, we're listening, dance therapy, we're moving, art therapy, we're using our hands. So they're all body-based therapy. So you're able to address those traumatic memories in the same way that they're stored. So it's just, it's the sort of therapy that just sort of gets to the meat of the problem more quickly, and it helps people process it, but it's also fun.
It is.
I mean, it's not always fun. Sometimes it gets heavy, but most of the time, it's pleasurable. You end up having a beautiful product in the end that you can look back on and say, wow, look at this work I did.
Well, and what's so there's so many things that are interesting about that and so personally relevant. But just this week, down the street at the Carolina Inn was the North Carolina Association on Aging had their annual conference. And I went to a talk, a research talk, because, you know, I'm geeky research like that, about caregiving youth, and learned about a study that geographers are doing to really study the issue of people, children under the age of 18 who are caregivers for their parents, their grandparents, their siblings. That's a whole other show we're going to have about this epidemic of caregiving youth, and people don't really talk about it. And when they were doing intake or experiences with the students, they asked them to draw out and map out their day. And rather than just saying, you know, how is your day? But like, what does a Tuesday look like? And they're like, now we're geographers, so we like maps. But they showed all these pictures of kids drawing, and these are mostly middle school and high school. And they were drawing out, well, I'm home and I wake up and then I go to school and then I help my grandma and grandma's house. And then, you know, but through drawing it out actually helped to tell the story. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't thought about that itself is both therapeutic and, what they were saying, incredibly telling in a way to gather data. Sorry for that tangent, but it was so interesting.
No, I mean, that's a really important part of art therapy, is helping people tell their stories, because, you know, ultimately we all want to be heard and witnessed. And so that's like, the expressive arts do that in a really tangible way. So like, one of the populations I do a lot of work with is newly arrived refugees and immigrants. And a lot of them don't speak English, but they can tell their story through the arts.
Yes.
And so, you know, it's like we just give them paper and whatever, you know, art materials or even sculpting stuff, and they can, you know, tell about their home countries and what it was like coming here. And, you know, it's like a lot of times there were bad things going on in their home countries, but it's still home and it's really precious to them. And so we want to give them a space to celebrate that. And, you know, the U.S. sort of offers this like promised land of hope and a new life, but it doesn't always turn out that way. I mean, come here and they face a lot of new struggles and challenges. And
Absolutely. So
the art is a great way for them to tell that story and, you know, do it in a safe way that's, you know, welcoming.
I love this. And I have all of these questions, and this was not one I had put down, but it just makes me think about it again. I'm sort of geeking out maybe from a policy perspective, but or a coverage perspective. Is art therapy covered? Like, is there reimbursement for it? Because you're talking about really important ways that this is being used, especially, and we'll talk more in,
with,
you know,
children.
Different with children and different mental health or therapeutic spaces. Is it something that people can be referred to and covered, reimbursed?
So you just opened up a big can of worms.
I did. I really did. We didn't even go. We have so many other like art therapy 101 questions, but this was just top of my mind, and it might be top of our listeners' mind.
Because I want to know how to get to you.
ADHD,
can I afford
like
it? And is my insurance a part of coverage?
Yeah. So I will give you guys the Cliff Notes version of what's happening.
Great. Okay. Sure.
So for a long time, art therapists in North Carolina, so every state is different, but in North Carolina, art therapists would get what was called the LPC. Now it's the LCMHC, which is basically licensed professional counselor's license. And that allowed them to bill insurance.
I get it.
There's now a new issue where there's different types of accreditations that programs can have. And the LCMHC licensing board wants art therapy programs to be KCREP accredited, but most of them are KHEP accredited, and I'm not even going to begin to tell you what that means.
All right, so we won't make you define it, but an accreditation to,
Yeah, so basically, you will find some older art, not older, like gray hair older, but people who've been in the field longer, art therapists who have their LCMHC, so they can take insurance.
Because they're licensed clinicians.
Yeah, but most of the newer art therapists, and then me, because when I first got my degree, because I was just doing a little bit on the side because I had my business, I didn't get my LCMHC, so I'm not licensed.
Licensed clinical health.
Licensed clinical mental health.
Oh, MHC. Okay, got it. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're counselors. Trained counselors that can be reimbursed, kind of like social workers or other counselors, and then they use art therapy as their approach, so they get multiple certifications. Okay, so there is a pathway, but it sounds like not here.
Well, it's not great here. I mean, it's here you just need to look for someone with an LCMHC if you need insurance reimbursement. What I do is I have people pay me out of pocket, but then I create something called a super bill, which they can submit to their insurance company with me as an out-of-network provider.
Okay.
And so they're not going to get as much reimbursement as you would with an LCMHC, but it's something. And then I also do a lot of work applying for grants that I'm not a nonprofit, but if there are grants that I can apply for that will allow me to do the work with populations of people who might not be able to afford our therapy, mm-hmm. I do that. I do some pro bono work. Mm-hmm. I do these things called art hives, which is basically,
that's what I wanted to ask
about. It's called public practice art therapy, and it's where you go into public areas where marginalized populations might be and offer them free art activities, and it's therapeutic in that you're connecting to a community and able to share your stories again and that sort of thing. I also have worked with, you know, schools and agencies to have them add art therapy as like a budget line item. So I do work with the refugees and immigrants in the Durham Public Schools. Would love to get in the Chapel Hill Carver City Schools, but haven't quite gotten that in yet.
Hmm. All right, if anyone's listening, that has that sort of connection. And I think we've had a whole other show on music therapy, and our wonderful colleague who brought us back together, Allie Chandler.
And so
sometimes it's the organizations, the schools, the community centers themselves that are bringing it in. So while the individuals may or may not be paying, it's being kind of covered, as you said, through some other line item.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned the art hives. So on your website, I had fun. I love this line. Through the power of the expressive arts, the clinicians at Bridge Art Therapy help the clients discover their strengths and healing potential. I love that. Discover your strengths and healing potential. And I know you have different approaches, but so what's your approach to this discovery of strengths for healing?
Well, I really try to let my work with clients be kind of client-led. Uh-huh. Like, you know, they tell me what they want to work on, what sort of materials they want to use. I might suggest things, especially if they've, you know, they're trying to process a certain type of memory or they're struggling with something in particular. I see a lot of kids, so sometimes it's just, you know, just struggles with getting along with other kids or their siblings. And so I'll sometimes introduce things that are new to them, and at first they're like, I don't know about that, like making slime, like a lot of kids. I don't know if you guys have ever made slime.
My daughter went through that. One of my daughters went through that process, just constantly slime making.
Yeah, but at first it's a little bit like you're sticking your hands.
Oh, but it's super fun once it's made.
Something I love to do with slime, which I think the parents like a little better than me sending home just a bag of slime, because slime can get messy. Yeah.
Yes, it can.
We make stress balls, so we'll take rubber or balloons, and we stretch out the neck and stuff the slime into the balloon, tie it off, and you have a stress ball.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
I love
they're
that.
They're really fun.
I have to go with the next one.
I
couldn't do it.
They were super into, and they're still into it. 19 and 23, and they're still into the kind of. And I looked all over in Japan. There was a certain kind of squishy type of stress ball, and I couldn't find it anywhere. And I was like, all right, I give up.
Wow.
And so you have these different approaches, and there's a few of you, because I saw the clinicians. Like, you're part of a team. It sounds like at Bridges, because you had said that each clinician can differ in their approach.
Yeah.
So are there a few of you that you work with, and how do you decide who's going to work with whom and the approach?
So Bridges Art Therapy is mostly my practice. The other clinicians I have listed help me, like with the work with refugees and immigrants in the schools. And then sometimes they might have individual clients that they find on their own, and then they use my space to see them, or we collaborate on group projects, that sort of thing. But you know, usually if people are contacting me through my practice, it's going to be a client that I would see, unless I don't have a space that works, like a time that works for them, in which case I'll refer them to first the other clinicians who are associated with my practice. But then I also, because I've been in the area so long, I'm well connected with other art therapists throughout the triangle. And so I just try to find, you know, match people up, you know, based on where they are geographically and what sort of issues they're looking at and all that.
I love this. I do feel like we should go back to slime. So going back to slime, is my segue from slime to also thinking about the other mediums. And I'm wondering, I was going to ask you about other mediums of like when to do clay or painting. I went through this phase a month ago. I had two back-to-back vision board experiences with women, a bunch of magazines and a bunch of cocktails and a bunch of scissors, and people were cutting out kind of old school collaging of words, and people were manifesting and visioning, so it was funny. But I want to talk about, and maybe is this the time to talk about the approaches of expressive arts therapy versus soul collage versus Mari, or how do we get into the slime versus paint versus however, you see where I'm going with it, because I don't know enough to be able to ask which method and medium and stuff goes with which of the approaches.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so, you know, like for individual therapy, like I've got all the different materials in my office, and I also have things like drums and stuff if people want to, you know, get into some music stuff, or we can do movement and that sort of thing. But the other things that I offer, the soul collage and the Mari, soul collage is, it's something I usually do with adults. I could do it with teenagers. I think I could do it with younger kids, but it's based on sort of tapping into the collective unconscious using collages. And so
that just got super deep, super fast.
Yeah.
Okay, go on. I felt like we needed to take a moment. Tapping into the collective unconscious. Go on.
Yeah. So basically in soul collage, you create little 5-inch by 8-inch collages, and each collage is supposed to represent a different part of yourself, or your soul, if you will. And then, like, once you've created these collages, like, usually when someone creates art, they'll, you know, hold up the piece of art and say, well, I painted this picture of a tree because I really like trees, and I did it in the fall because I really like fall. Mm-hmm. And that's how we describe our art, right?
That sounds nice, and I'm not going to call it surface, but that's like me. Yeah. I like flowers and abstract art because I can't do, like, very specific things, so I like to just push paint around a canvas and then call it something. Yeah.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, that's fabulous, but the fun thing about soul collage is, and I only ask people to do this if they're comfortable. Some people are like, that is a little too woo-woo. But
we love woo-woo.
Yeah, I like woo-woo a lot, too.
I think I am woo-woo.
Yeah.
I was like, I was waiting to look at Alicia's face because she had like a conscious, like a look for. I'm like, you like woo-woo, don't
I
you?
I am woo-woo.
I'm like, you are. So, yeah, so you're speaking to us. All right, go for it.
Yeah. So you have your collage, and instead of just describing it like how I described how most people describe their art, you use the phrase, I am one who, and imagine what the collage would say. So, you know, suppose I had a collage of a girl on a swing, swinging out over a mountaintop. I might say, I am one who feels free flying through the air. I am one who wants to see far and wide in the distance. And so, because you're using the I am one,
deeper.
It goes
right,
a lot deeper. Yeah. And people often have insights that surprise them with that. I mean, I've seen people in my soul collage workshops get moved to tears by what comes up for them.
Oh, I'm sure.
And so I love doing soul collage. I teach classes over at the Art Center. I've got my great connection over there.
Yeah, I was going to say, you are genetically connected in very close ways with the executive director. Yeah.
I also sometimes do open studios at my art therapy office, so I've got a big table where I can get 6 or so people there. Although we're also going to start offering over open studios at the Art Center too, so it'll be nice to be able to spread out a little more, have more people join,
and we can see you more.
I know we're gonna be right our new studio is literally walking like just a few steps away, so
because you guys are going to be over at the new library.
We are. I went and checked out our space last week, Alicia. It's so cool. We're going to be in the new Drakeford Library, the new Orange County Library that's in Carrboro. And so we're so close to the new Art Center. Right now, listeners, we are very close to the old Art Center. All right, so wait, go on.
So we can come and do that pro bono with her after I leave the show.
I want the open studio work. All right, so you bring folks together. I'm still curious about the I am one who. I'm curious, like, what are the, without saying the people's names, like, what's other interesting things that get shared through that? I'm just so fascinated by that.
I mean, I like
that.
The, you start with a swing and you end up far and wide, somewhere totally different.
Yeah. Well, I think, like, one thing that sort of surprises people sometimes with soul collage is, you know, we always encourage them not to just focus on the sort of happy stuff, but
like walking
to
on grass barefoot.
Yeah, you could put what we call the shadow things out there. And you know, sometimes like big emotions like anger will come out, which is really important to express that. I think especially for women, women for so long have been taught to be quiet and not express your emotion. And like, if you're angry, mm-hmm. you're called the B word,
right.
and yeah. you know, things like that. But, you know, when we stuff those emotions, it comes out in physical illnesses. Mm-hmm. So it's so important to find a vehicle to express that, you know, in a healthy way.
I could see, you know, mm-hmm. people talking about their anxiety or depression, especially now. It's a rough time for a lot of mm-hmm. people. A lot of folks are worried about their, especially in this area, we're a big research area, mm-hmm. we're a big, a lot of people, you know, how do you draw uncertainty? I'm one who lives yeah. in uncertainty, not me, but, or right. I am one who, struggles with this. So I love the term, the shadow side mm-hmm. of not yeah. just like, I am one who loves cuddling with people. I would just make myself a big teddy bear. But so, all right. So you were starting to say your different programs. So that's the Soul Collage. And then you bring folks together to also have the open studios for expression.
Yeah.
Is it time? I don't want to move too quickly, but is it, how is that similar or different to Mari, which I have no idea what that means?
So Mari is completely different.
I didn't stalk enough.
So Mari is something that, it's like, you'll actually find a lot of Soul Collage facilitators around, but Mari is a little more unique. It's an art therapy assessment that was developed by an art therapist named Joan Kellogg. And she uses, it's based a lot of on Jungian philosophy. And she used mandalas, so round shapes that...
Which are beautiful.
Yeah, they're beautiful. And she found like certain patterns that sort of repeated throughout history and throughout culture. So mm-hmm. all over the world, like these same sort of mandala images. And then she paired them with these colors. And she found that depending on what was going on in people's lives, they would match certain mandala shapes to certain colors.
Hmm.
So she created this whole assessment that's based on colors and mandalas. And it's also based on the circle of life. So I have these, they're like these little plastic cards with mandala shapes on them, but they're seed, like they're black on clear plastic. So you hold them over colors, you match them to colors mm. you like. And then depending on what you pick, they go on this, what's called the great round, and it's the circle of life. And so it'll basically give you a snapshot of your psyche at a given moment. Hmm. So,
Alicia, we have to do this.
It's fascinating. And unlike a lot of
assessments. Do you do it alone or can you do it together? Yeah. Can Alicia
did
and I
bring
come
it,
together?
Did we you need... bring it with you?
I didn't bring it with me. I should have brought it with
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you should have.
Yeah.
That would have been
okay. It's really something you do one-on-one. Mm-hmm. It can get really personal because, again, it's collecting into the collective unconscious. And so it's your sort of subconscious picking up on this sort of collective knowledge of the world and of how things work. And so
how do people process that when you go that deep and then they have to walk away
go,
and leave
what?
You? And they leave, you know?
Well, I make sure we have a lot of time. So a Mari assessment usually takes about 2.5 hours to do.
Okay, so it's not something where I was like, Alicia, I know it's super private. We need to do it on the show. Let's do it with a, I know it's private. Let's do it with a microphone share our.
Because you're going so deep in that box.
Well, and it always surprises people. Like, and it surprises me because sometimes like people pick cards and I'm like, what does this mean? I can't imagine this has anything to do with their life, especially if it's someone who I know a little bit. Like if I did it with Heather,
yes.
you know, she might pick cards and I'm like, this isn't relating to anything I know about Heather. But every time I start sharing what the cards mean and they're like, my God, how did you know that? This just happened to me. And it like all these things that are happening to them right in the moment come out.
I'm having this analogy moment, and tell me if this is wrong. It reminds me of like, is it like oracle cards or there sounds like not fortune telling, but where you pick cards and they're like, oh, well, apparently
it can feel a lot like that or like tarot.
Right.
That was the other one I was thinking. Sorry.
Yeah. The thing, like the way they describe it as being different from tarot though, is that tarot, like I know that with tarot, I don't know a lot about tarot, so I'm not going to pretend to be an expert, but mm-hmm. I know it has a lot to do with your energy that you put into the cards, mm-hmm. and that's
yes.
why you pick the cards you do.
Okay.
But it feels sort of like luck when you're picking them, because it's not like you're looking at the cards and picking what feels right. It's just
like
what gets
this
drawn.
Came on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So with Mari, you're actually picking the colors and the mandala shapes. So it's a conscious decision that, well, conscious and subconscious. I mean, you're
yes.
using what your heart is saying you need to pick. So it's different in that way, but it feels very similar in terms of like, you know, picking up on all these like
different
aspects
shapes
of
and then
life.
The things that you have on those
and
cards versus
colors. Do you draw it then? I mean, or you pick it up and then it like, you pick up the cards and you put them into a shape?
Yeah, so I have this thing called a great round, mm-hmm. and it's the circle of life. Mm-hmm. And so they go on the great round, and then I have a manual, and I can look up and see what each card means, especially with the how they match with the colors. And then it just, and the thing, like what I say is, the Mari is a really great assessment to use if somebody's curious about art therapy. Maybe they're not ready to like jump in and say, yeah, I want to do art therapy, you know, once a week for whatever months it's going to take. But this is a way to sort of dip your toe in it, mm-hmm. and sort of see what tapping into, you know, this sort of knowledge of creativity right. you have in you can feel like. Mm-hmm. And it'll just give, it also, you know, if somebody's just curious about therapy, the Mari can give them some good information about things they could be working on. So whether or not they decide to see an art therapist, they might say, hey, I did this assessment and these things came out and I really think I need to process it with someone. And so they could go to a talk therapist and do that.
So is that where you start? So if I were to call you and say, hey, Bridget, I feel like I need something, and I don't know what I need. Is that, do you usually start with the Mari for someone? Or like, how do you decide when to do the Mari versus the Soul Collage versus the let's make slime mm-hmm. together?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to keep coming back to slime.
I'll give you two.
Yeah. Well, the slime, I mostly do that with kids. Although sometimes, okay. like with adult groups, when I really want them to get into play, I'll do slime. Uh-huh. But with adults, I'll often offer the Mari sort of early on in therapy, just because it's a great way for me to get to know them and some of the things that might be going on for them. And it's just, it's a fun assessment in that, you know, you're getting to play with colors and shapes and that sort of thing. And it's not quite as intimidating as like,
does
here, draw a picture.
Or yes. take away some of that tension, you know?
Yeah, from it just gives you something to do.
To take your mind off of the stress of the conversation.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because it's sort of me, like I pull out things to have a conversation about, as opposed to someone coming in and me saying,
here's
so what brings
piece
you
of
to therapy?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, because that's a little hard. Like when someone says, what brings you to therapy?
And like, that's where like,
oh my gosh,
an hour. Yeah. I feel like yeah. I saw someone once. Yeah. I think we didn't get into it for like four months.
Because right. right.
every week I'm like, well, this happened. Blah, 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 blah. And then I'm like, I don't even remember why I first came here.
Yeah. So the ice sounds like a different way of ice breaking into a person's reason for being there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
so,
like a
so that they
funky
can relax
assessment.
Quicker. Because we have an hour.
Yeah,
you know, and we need to get something done before I walk out the door.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It is a great way to just sort of, like you say, break the ice. So yeah, I often offer it at the beginning of therapy. Sometimes people will just want to come to me and just do the Mari and not do any therapy, which is totally fine. It's just
sure,
you know, it's sort of like so when people get their astrological
reading. Yeah, I'm super into that.
It's a little bit like that.
My friend is super into it, and so she kept giving me gifts. I've gotten two astrological charts and readings, and they were very profound.
They were.
It like basically told me to, I'm not gonna say my, quit my job and to find new ways to use my voice, and ergo, I quit my job and now I'm on the microphone. So anyway, I mean, there was a bunch of steps in it, but also said how much death is all over my chart.
Hmm.
And in the sense of like, and now so much of my work leading the Serious Illness Coalition and helping people with their end of life journey a little bit. So all that to say,
wow.
I found it very powerful, maybe just validating, or it just, like I did it and people around me were like, well, we've been saying this stuff to you for a long time, but somehow a stranger reads it on your chart and you're like, oh, I got to do this. So anyway, I can see how there's some overlap in, for just some folks, and I'm one of them, that just wants a different way to get to something. And even if we're not sure what that something is, which leads to my next question about how do people get to you? I mean, how do they find out about you and
refer to you
and
get to you, pay you?
So well, I do have my website, which is a good place to start. It'll you know, sort of give,
how do we know we need that?
That's though? It yeah, we got to take two steps back. How, like, who talks to me and says, hey,
you might need
you this could be really helpful? Or like Bridget and I are in a group of women business owner and colleagues together, and that's how I found out about what she was doing now. But is that what happens? You're in a kind of a referral network of people in the art space and the healing space? How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, that's how I get most of my clients, is just somebody saying, oh, I know this woman, she works with these types of people, or she's really good at this. And also, especially for people who feel stuck in talk therapy, because sometimes, like, you could do talk therapy and then, like, you feel like you're not making any progress, and art therapy is just a different approach. And I think, you know, it's always good to sort of shake things up.
I agree.
So a lot of times people will just say, you know, I'm ready to try something different in therapy. Mm-hmm. So they'll reach out to me. I do work with a lot of kids. And so the expressive arts are great with kids, because sometimes kids don't necessarily have the vocabulary mm-hmm. to really explain what they're feeling. Mm-hmm. A lot of it comes out in their play and the way they interact with their schoolmates or mm-hmm. their siblings.
Do you do anything with special needs children, like those who are nonverbal but are but they can hear and intelligent enough to respond to command?
Oh, sure, yeah.
You do?
Yeah, yeah. I don't have any clients right now who are special needs like that, but I do work with adults who are, they're called IDD, which stands for Intellectual and Developmental mm-hmm. Disabilities. But they just, you know, they all have some sort of unique way of being in the world. And mm-hmm. sometimes some of them are nonverbal. Some of them, you know, might have severe autism, all different things. Hmm. And yeah, and I just sort of gear my art to whatever their interests are, the types of art they like to do. And yeah, so you can really, like, I find that you can use art therapy with just about anyone.
And we find sure. you out here because the colleagues refer to you.
Somebody yeah. says it becomes a remember the old commercial from the 70s? It was a gym, and they told two friends, and they told two friends.
Yeah.
I do know, and I do, I get, you have a great, can't find my words, great email listserv. You have a newsletter that goes out. So
yeah.
we met, and then I start, we keep meeting, but then I signed up for your email, and that's where you email out a number of your offerings, and it was the latest one, because I get them. Do you send it out monthly?
Yeah, I send one once a month, and I always tell people, like, you know, I'm like, go to my website, sign up to my email list. I only send one email a month, because I know we all get inundated with emails. So
yes.
I send one email a month, which is my newsletter, and it has, I usually try to put some information about, you know, new things that are happening with my practice, whether it's like, you know, I'm going to be starting some research at UNC. Luckily, it's not government funding, it's accreditation. But, you know, I'll put things like that. But then I also list any classes or workshops I'm doing. So I do a lot of classes and workshops at the Art Center. Sometimes I do them, you know, at other places, whether it's UNC or whatever. So that's in the newsletter. So if people are curious about what's going on, mm-hmm. even if they're not ready to say, I want to see an art therapist, they could get my newsletter, just read about what's going on, and then it's there.
You yeah, know? It's great. I love reading it. And then it took like the third or fourth time. And then I'm like, Bridget, you need to come on our show. Well, let's, so we don't forget and run out of time, let's go ahead and do a shout out to your website, mm-hmm. and then that's how people sign up for your newsletter. So
yeah.
What is your website?
So it's just www.bridgesarttherapy.com. And so Bridges, be careful not to put Bridget, like my first
right.
name. It's like a bridge that goes over a river.
And your logo is a bridge.
It is a
going
bridge.
Over, yeah.
yeah. And, you know, just a little history of that. So one of my nicknames is Bridge. So it's sort of a play on my nickname, Bridges Art Therapy. But there's also an assessment in the world of art therapy called the Bridge Assessment, where you have people draw a picture of a bridge. And depending on how they draw their bridge, it can tell you a lot of information about, you know, where they are, where they want to be going, what sort of support systems they have, if they're scared about where they're going, if they're excited. So I just thought that would be a fun name for my practice.
And I love that, because it is actually a fun play on your name, too. So
yeah.
it just works beautifully.
Yeah.
And your... Alicia, you had asked about cost, and I know that some of your sessions are kind of expensive. I did kind of cheap out, which is why I haven't done some of them. But I do like the email, as you said, because you'll list a number of different things that are at the different costs. But it is something that folks need to be able to afford. Your time is valuable, and unfortunately, there's not reimbursement for it. So it's a big out of pocket. Not big, but it's
yeah, yeah. So, well, I will say, so I do offer classes at the Art Center. For our UNC students, if you're interested in one of those classes, but you're thinking, I'm a student, I can't afford it, if it gets to be like 2 weeks before the class and they still have some space, they offer those spaces to students for half price. So that's something for our student population. For other people in the area who can't afford it, they do have a limited number of scholarships. So
I'm asking,
are there workshops that you have in the community? I know you're at the Art Center, like say Passmore Center, Seymour Center.
I haven't done anything there yet. I would
Shocking.
Love to.
Let's connect you.
Yeah.
That shocks me. Well, good thing we're connected with the Orange County Department on Aging, so we can do that afterwards. But yeah, and the classes, and I'm totally asking this selfishly, the classes at the Art Center, are they like one and done classes or are they a series of classes?
I've got both.
Okay.
So with Soul Collage, I offer an introduction to Soul Collage, which is like a half day workshop where you learn a little bit about the basic process and that sort of thing. And then we make some cards and that can be a one and done. But for people who like maybe do the intro or maybe they've done a little Soul Collage somewhere else, and they really liked it and they want to sort of make it a practice that they can do at home and sort of get in that routine, I offer a class called A Deeper Dive into Soul Collage, where each week we'll look at a different aspect of Soul Collage, and then we also make cards. So they're getting in this sort of habit of making cards every week. They're doing it with a community of people, which is always so much more fun, and you get to share about your cards and gain insight. So that's an 8-long-week class. Hmm. And new this spring, so along with the deeper dive into Soul Collage, we also are at like sort of offering it at the same time as the class. People can come to the last 2 hours and just make cards. Hmm. So if they feel like they don't need any more information about Soul Collage, but they want to make cards in community, they can come to the open studio.
Good to know. My selfish question was for if it's a kind of a for one-time thing, is it only UNC students that get the discount or other college students get the discount if there's room?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Find out about that. We have other colleges in the area, and like selfishly, my daughter, if she comes home for spring break and you happen to have a class, so that's why it was. There was a museum, and they were like, "Oh, is it only for college students in this town?" And they were like, "No, all college students."
So all at any maybe.
Yeah, all right,
yeah, it might be. Yeah, we'll have to check with the Art Center about that.
Check with the executive director.
Or the field that you're in, that you are, is it being reproduced? Like, are there students that are wanting to be where you are today?
Yeah, definitely. There's more and more interest
inspiring.
In it.
Inspiring.
Yeah, I actually have a great intern this spring. She's actually an undergraduate student, but she's interested in going into the field of art therapy. So she's been shadowing me, and it's been really great. And I love working with interns and students because they come with really fresh ideas, and they teach me as much as I teach them, I think.
That's fresh, yeah. Keep it fresh.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so we have a few minutes left. We have just shy of 10 minutes, and I have big picture questions, or I don't know. Well, I'm going to first ask for people who are not local, I have two questions. But the one question that I have, I'm wondering if you have people say, I can't do this, I'm not artistic.
Yeah.
For anyone out there who, and because we've had creative writers on the show who do writing for resilience and healing, and when people are like, oh, I can't write, I'm not a writer. So do you have people like, I can't do that, I'm not artistic?
Yeah, definitely. And I definitely, like, I don't focus a lot on asking people to do a particular drawing. I mean, there are assessments where you're like, draw a picture of a person picking an apple from a tree, which is a really valid assessment.
Wow.
But I
wouldn't pass that.
No.
Stick people count?
Oh, yeah.
Stick person, apple not to scale. Yep.
Yeah, but so I don't do a lot of stuff like that. A lot of the stuff I do is more abstract, just playing with the materials. It doesn't have to look like anything. So, yeah, you don't have to have
because
any sort
of
artistic...
Because that would be a kind of... If not, that would be different. Going draw, I would be like, I won't go to you because I can't draw.
Exactly. It would kind of put up resistance or a barrier to people saying, yeah, I can't do that. So for our listeners throughout the state, throughout the nation, and we have some international listeners we hear every once in a while. So for those folks not in our area, so they can't come see you and they can't go to the Art Center, what do you suggest for them about how to think about using expressive art or other art techniques as a healing therapeutic tool? What are big picture tips?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, just doing art is therapeutic. It's just great for self-regulation. Mm-hmm. It can help lower our heart rate, just reduce stress. So even just picking up some art stuff at home and doing it on your own is therapeutic. But there are expressive arts therapists and art therapists throughout the world. If people got interested in soul collage, there's soul collage people all over the world. You can just, you know, Google soul collage in my area.
Can you think of soul cycle like that exercise thing? Sorry, go on. All right, so there are practitioners. Do you, you know, tips for, as you say, like for me, I do a lot of kind of crafting at home and artwork just because it just makes me feel good. I call myself a bless your heart artist because when I show people, I'm like, oh, bless your heart. But it does. It makes me feel good and it gets my mind off whatever I'm doing. It's sort of a way of zoning out and focusing on one thing as opposed to like just the
TV. All over the place, yeah.
And then just sort of creating something. And if it's good enough, it could become a little bit of a gift for someone or for myself. So do you have like tools that you're just like, hey, just see what it's like to pick up a paper and a crayon or some slime scissors and just give yourself permission and see how you feel. Like, that's what I was curious.
Well, I'll say, sort of going back to the soul collage, that's one of the things I love about soul collage is it's, first of all, it's super inexpensive. You just need old magazines and you can use like, I mean, I get these special cards for my students because I like them to have, you know, the best materials possible, but you can take an old cereal box and just cut a backing out of that, and then it's glue stick. So it doesn't cost a lot to do. You can whip out a collage in, you know, 30, 45 minutes. So, and you don't have to be able to draw or anything. It's just looking for pictures you like and cutting them out.
Do you do, okay, quick side but related question. So when we did this manifesting board, vision board collage thing 2 weeks ago, I did it and I picked out words. Maybe it's because I'm so verbal, but like, strength and courage or family or tequila. Like I was just picking out words.
Wine.
And then wine. Little sandwiches. Like the so but then I looked at my other people around me, other women, and they were doing pictures
and
so when you do the collage, is it pictures as opposed to like words. You know, 25 ways to find your best self, things like how do you tell them what to look for?
So with soul collage in general, they recommend that people avoid words just because of the I am one who process, because when you do I am one who, then you're kind of, if it has words on it, you're kind of telling the image what it should say to you.
Got it.
But if it doesn't have words, then it's sort of like it's wide open what it's going to say to you. So, but it's not like, I definitely have some soul collages with words on them. So it's not like you can't put words on, but, and I think words and just collage in general definitely have an important place. I was just working on a big collage project with a group just before I came over here and we had a lot of words. We did a, we spread out a big piece of paper and we were doing a community collage. And so there was lots of words, lots of images.
It's like those word clouds. I will say, not to put down my own work, those that were pictures I found more powerful and had the stories that people told were just like, you know, here's a mountain because I love outside, or here's cats because I love cats. I found that my word thing was actually too dizzying to look at. It was just like a whole bunch of words. So after watching other people do it, I saw it more powerful because then it had a different story as opposed to just of like what looks like a really smushy magazine cover. So in our 3 minutes left, I've asked a lot of my questions. I want to make sure if there were things that you wanted to be sure to share that, or Alicia, things that you wanted to be sure to ask. I wanted to give it, what do you call it?
Moment, pause, moment
is Alicia's
Moment, pause, moment. As far as you going, as far as being in the community, do you find that you are bringing in, you said you, the black community, because like, you know, I haven't experienced anything like this there.
Yeah. So,
and therapy is really hidden in our community.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, that's one thing that's important to me. Before I started my private practice, I worked for a nonprofit called the Art Therapy Institute, and we really tried to work with really diverse populations because there are a lot of populations that don't necessarily have access to things like this, or they just don't know about them. And I think, honestly, I think that's just one problem with the whole therapy world, but definitely the art therapy world. It's like we need to be accessing more you know, populations where the people don't look like me. And right. for our viewers, I'm, you know, your typical white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed right. woman, middle-aged. And that's like, that's the face of art therapy. And so it needs to change.
Slowly, it's slowly?
Yeah, slowly is changing. One thing that I try to do, so I mentioned earlier, I do this thing called Art Hives where I just go out in public.
You did.
And so it's an opportunity for people wherever I go to try a little bit of art therapy, and they can make some right on the spot, and it's free. And so, like, I've done it at different fundraising events. I do it at the art walks over at the art center. Mm-hmm. There's
health
an
fairs.
Health fairs. There's an LGBTQ pride fair last summer, and I set up a table there. Sometimes I go to schools and do art therapy. So wherever I can, I do some art hives with the Interfaith Council, the shelters, and and it's they're always open to everyone. So it's like while I'm going to IFC and working with the clients they serve, I try to advertise it in a way that everybody can come on and participate. And I think that's great, especially with the folks at IFC, because I feel like people who are experiencing homelessness and housing insecurity and food insecurity, like, they are some of the most marginalized people, and they really don't have access to a lot of these other resources, and they don't get a chance to make art very much. And so, you know, I'll go in there and just bring the art materials, and we just have fun, and it's a chance for everybody to talk and get to know each other.
And, so, and when you leave the room, I'm sure it's better.
Yeah. I mean, people are always a little wary when I come in, like, who is this girl and why are we doing art? But at the end, there's always a lot of smiles and, like, oh, I'm so glad I did
release.
This.
I could see
yeah.
release.
Yeah.
Well, you are giving us lots of smiles, and I hope our listeners go and get your creativity on, and make sure to, if you want to check out, go to, what's the website again?
www.bridgesarttherapy.com.
Okay, bridgesarttherapy.com. Cannot thank enough my friend Bridget Pemberton Smith for coming on to our Aging Well Together show. Such a great show. I am motivated. I'm going to go home and do something, and then I'm going to check out your emails to join some of the activities. Thank you so much to Bridget. Thank you so much to WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carrboro for hosting our Aging Well Together show. As always, the Orange County Department on Aging for sponsoring us. And listeners, really, thank you so much. And everyone, take care.